This is Clara in Stockholm, and you are listening to the new rave and mystery on WRSU FM New Brunswick. Yeah.
60s Woodstock and this and that, 70s punk and whatever, 80s. What about 80s?
House music. The decade rock and roll was showing up for what it was. The necrophiliac that it was.
Emissary radio program, WRSU-FM, New Brunswick.
Hey, everybody. Kais Quasar here. We're going to dispense with the New Rave Emissary theme song early tonight. We just got to jump right into the program. We got an amazing program for you tonight. So much stuff coming on. We're going to have an incredible guest, fun guest. This guy's like a rave nomad. He's not just... This guy, I got to talking to him this week, Eric, and he's going to be our guest. He's the kid that's dancing the liquid master on our page, MySpace/ImperialQuasar. And if you go there, there's a YouTube video link, and you click that, and you're going to see our guest dance tonight. And hopefully, it's going to lead you on a little search for a little knowledge about this whole rave phenomenon, like. Some of the people that were around back in the day, they're still around. And these are some really fascinating, wonderful people, real rave emissaries. And it's our journey, our mission to bring these people to you, to bring the new school to the old school. And we're going to have a lot of that going on tonight. We've got a great band from New York who's doing the old school hardcore breaks, the Riff Raff Crew. They're getting aligned with the whole new rave thing by doing their own thing, which is an old thing, which I love. Those guys are throwing great parties in New York. Yeah. There's a great vibe going on. I'm going to play you something that was suggested to me by our guest next week. That's a famous, world-famous, legendary DJ, DJ DB, who's from New York via the UK. And he's going to be our guest next week. So we got some really great old-school breakbeat stuff coming up. And just to go back to my guest... if you go to MySpace/CaptainOldSchool, that's all one word, and just as it's spelled, no crazy rave spellings, just Captain Old School, all one word, you'll find our guest's MySpace, and it's like a journey through the history of rave. And he's really set this thing up well. I mean, when this guy got into it, like I was saying before, he's not only is one of the, you know, most incredible dancers I've ever seen. Like Silverlink last week, our guest said he saw him doing that stuff. He mm-hmm. couldn't believe his eyes, like what he's seeing.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and you know, we're trying to expose some of the hidden things that were part of this incredible scene that a lot of people don't know about. And this guy, our guest tonight, Eric, he's documented the whole thing. If you go to MySpace/CaptainOldSchool, you'll find a whole bunch. There are other sites for Eric's dancing. We'll tell you about them later. But I really want people to go to his space and take a little journey. There's documentaries there. There's all music and you know, it's just a great place to just have a lot of fun. Go to that space. Okay, we got a lot of great music tonight. We're gonna start with something. I'm gonna introduce two songs. We're gonna start with something by our guest last week, Silverlink. This is gonna be called Feather Juke. And we're going to be talking about something Silverlink is doing later. But I want to get to the... I want to talk now about the band we're going to play after Silverlink. This is Crystal Castles. This is a band that has a really cool buzz going on right now. There's something different about these guys. And no point trying to figure out what it is. It's just different. And it's embodies something new. It's a new kind of band. The song's called Air War. And these guys have an interesting story. They apparently set up their MySpace back in September 2005, and they just did like 3 or 4 friend requests or something like that, and then like forgot about the space. And then they came back like 3 months later, and there was thousands and thousands of plays and like 3 different label offers for like cool records, like 7-inch stuff, 12-inch EPs. And these guys are going to be DJing some of the after parties and stuff on the Enemy Indie Rave Tour, which Klaxons is headlining, coming up. Just think it starts just a starts
that's,
in February.
Yeah,
I'm not sure of the dates.
February something.
But let me see. Crystal Castles have a 7-inch out on Merrick Records, which I believe is sold out. And then they have a really cool 12-inch EP, vinyl EP, coming out, Clear pink vinyl, clear pink vinyl. Yes, on Young Cub on Young Cub Records. Young Cub are out of Pomona. I have a strange history with the word in town Pomona, but that's got nothing to do with this. Young Cub Records, MySpace / Young Cub. Okay, that's Young CUB. Like, okay, and the song's called Air War, and then we're gonna go. We'll take a pause to tell you about something else, and then we'll be hearing from Eric. So we've got Feather Juke by Silver Link, and followed by Air War, Crystal Castle.
Cool. You're listening to The Spectacle in KISS, WRSU FM, New Brunswick.
We'll be right back. I'm a hustler, baby.
All right.
That's the next song, Hustler by Simeon Mobile Disco. But me and Spectacle just, I just messed
Spectacle up. He's perfect on the controls up here, but I'm a freak. Oh, boy. Some of you definitely have picked up on that by now. All right. Yeah, the next thing we're going to play, that was that was Crystal Castles Air War, MySpace / Crystal Castles. And before that, Feather Juke by Silverlink, MySpace / Silverlink. Okay, and the next thing we're going to play, Simeon Mobile Disco. This track's called Hustler. DJ Shaggy on the West Coast has been playing Simeon Mobile Disco quite a bit over at The Rogue. Check out djshaggy.com. Simeon Mobile Disco are starting a tour. They're on tour, or they're starting a tour, but I know they're playing February 2nd in Middlesbrough. I think that they're kicking it off then at the Empire. Okay, and they're going to be, this band we're going to play now, they're doing a lot of great remixes for a lot of different bands. They did a Klaxon's remix, and they have Sun Ra as their second top friend, which is the coolest thing in the world. Sun Ra is amazing. A real pioneer, experimental. Sun Ra rules. That's cool. They're gonna be in New York City, Simeon Mobile Disco, March 10th for, I think it's called Fixed versus Modular Party. And you can check out MySpace / Simeon Mobile Disco. And this is a great track. I've been dancing in my room to this one a lot. Hustler. Hustler.
Cool.
I'm a hustler, baby. That's my dad's maybe. Yeah, I'm a hustler, baby. That's what my dad's made me. I'm a hustler, baby. That's what my dad's made me. Yeah, I'm a hustler, baby. That's what my dad's made me. Baby.
What the fuck is you gonna do about it? Nothing.
Some of the music heard on WRSU-FM New Brunswick is provided by a program grant from the Princeton Record Exchange, located at 20 South Tulane Street in downtown Princeton. The Princeton Record Exchange, with over 150,000 titles in stock, buys and sells CDs, LPs, and DVDs. They can be reached at 609-921-0881 or visited on the web at www.prex.com.
And remember, sound was used for centuries as a method of torture. Place someone's head inside of a bell and ring it. And eventually, they'll go insane.
Tune into Volcano Whispers app Saturday nights at midnight on WRSU FM. New Brunswick, New Jersey, new music.
They'll go insane.
You're listening to the New Rave Emissary Radio program. And just before you heard Simeon Mobile Disco with Hustler. And right now I'm going to turn the mic over to Kais. And
hello.
You're on.
Okay. Hey, hello, world. We are on the phone with the gentleman I spoke to you about earlier. This is Eric. He is definitely, we use the term rave nomad. I think that that is completely accurate in his case. And Eric, I gave everybody the details to your space before, so why don't you just say hello to everybody?
Yo, worldwide, what's going on? How's everybody feeling? Nothing but love.
Lots of love, man. Lots of love to everybody out there. Lots of love to you, Eric, and to your people. Okay, Eric, why don't we go back to the beginning for you? Like, tell us about, you know, what attracted you to, like, the whole rave culture, like getting on the road. And I know what it was like. We used to have to travel for many, many hours to get to the best parties. I mean, you kept up with it for so many years. I mean, why don't you just tell us where it started and where it's gone and where you're at right now?
I mean, honestly, where it started for me, like, you know, I'm 31 years old. So, like, 7th, 8th grade, like, freestyle music was really big. You know what I'm saying? Like, in Jersey, New York. And that's when I first started going to clubs. But they're, like, kiddie clubs and sort of, you know, exposed to dance music in general. And it always kind of stuck with me.
So, how old were you then when you started going to the clubs, when you started dancing?
I was in, like, what, 8th, 9th grade? So, what is that, like, 11, 12 years old? Honestly, off the top of my head, I can't really think about it. You know what I'm saying? Well, no, it'd have to be, yeah, I'd probably say, like, 13.
Right, 13.
14, yeah,
right.
You know.
I did the same thing.
Yeah, and that was my, like, first exposure to it. And then, you know, I thought everything was techno in the beginning. You know, the word was just being used really, really, you know, just wrong, I guess, you know, not being in the know. So, you know, I wanted to buy some dance music, and I ended up buying, like I told you, you know, later down the road, Best of Techno Volume 4, which turned out to be nothing but, you know, not techno at all. It was hardcore rave breaks.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was hardcore rave. You know, Ace In, Trip to the Moon Parts 1 and 2.
God, I love that.
Kicks Like a Mule, Mr. Kirk's Nightmare, you know, and I was like, wow, this is great. And like, you know, and like how we spoke before, you know, some friends of mine in high school heard me listen to this. It was like, oh, you're into that too? I was like, yeah, and these are kind of people that, like, you know what I'm saying, were just different. They kind of kept to themselves. They had their own little clique. Well, I got down with them. They took me out to some party in Queens, and that's all she wrote, man. You know,
the first rave does it.
Later, you know, 11, 12 years later, here I am on the phone talking about it, you know, on the radio. It's crazy. It boggles my mind.
That's what's so amazing to me. That you're a rare breed, man, because you not only have you kept raving through the lull in it and through, you know, the whole blowback,
backlash, you know.
Yeah. You've continued to take it to another level. I mean, I just want to interject one more time to the people listening that you've got to go to MySpace/ImperialQuasar and click the video there and watch Eric, you know, just get an introduction to Eric. It's a very small introduction, but gives you a vibe, like, you know, of this liquid thing. I mean, tell us a little bit about the dance, Eric, that you've dedicated.
Okay, like, I've been doing liquid for 11 years. You know, the people that I dance with, who were part of the Liquid Pop Collective, which was my old dance crew, you know, they've all been doing it, you know, between, like, 8-9 years. But we all kind of started out. We actually all used to go to the same parties, but never bumped into one another and never really noticed one another. It was really, really weird. When we started comparing notes after we left, we found out we were going to the same parties, knew, like, the sort of same people, like, you know, that rave clique thing. Each city had its own little crew and everything, but I'm kind of getting off track. But, like,
no, that's fine. That's one of the most beautiful things about the whole thing is, like, I'm seeing dance moves. Like, you know, I saw what you guys have been doing for years, and I was, you know, I was in it just a few years before you, Eric. I was in it from, like, 92 to 94,
right.
And we crisscrossed when you first started coming, 93, 94, but I was really out of it here by late 94. I mean, for me, I got so spoiled by the Frankie Bones-type parties and the parties that we were throwing. The people here in New Brunswick, the Digital Deviants, Planet X Records were throwing. We, you know, we were doing underground rave and tunnels and
right.
Totally
and
warehouses. And
right, 93, 94 is when, like, I first started to go out, and I was going to, like, to the Limelight, to the Tunnel, and that's when it made that shift from the actual, like, parties out in Brooklyn, you know, like, an actual rave,
right.
You know what I'm saying, to the more controlled with a permit, you know, so
right.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, you used to go to the Limelight, I mean, straight, you know.
Uh-huh.
You go, like, right to school the next morning, you know, it was crazy.
Yep.
Then I ended up joining the Navy, and out of all places, I get stationed in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, at the Naval Air Station out there.
Yeah, good scene, Wink, a lot of good stuff, 611 Records.
And that's why I sort of claim 95 is when I really started partying.
Going to raves instead of out of the club scene and into the raves.
Right, because I went to actually, like, you know, my first, like, really, really big party was called Do It. It was held at the Valley Forge Convention Center. It blew my mind. And that's when, you know, I
was... What DJs stood out for you that night?
T-1000. Detroit Techno proper. You know what I'm saying? Like, it stood out. I was like, wow. And this is when, during that time, I ran into this girl named Chrissy and her crew, who was kind of like the Philly crew.
Uh-huh.
And she could do liquid, you know, what I came to know as liquid, where it was very big and very flowy. And I still have a lot of her in me, just how her crew did it. I guess, you know, it was really big. I have big liquid. Some people keep it really small. I mean, really
right.
big orbitals going behind my head, mobile, moving back and forth. And
I want to just say, if anyone wants to know what liquid is, Eric can talk about it, but when you go watch him at our site do it, then you'll know what liquid is. And like our guest last week said, Silverlink, he said, you know, he'd been always seen popping in the UK and stuff, but he said, I mean, even at this stage, I mean, this was such an exciting part of it for this development of this particular style, which you've brought to a whole other level, but the liquid, he said they haven't really seen it in the UK, and I'm hearing from the people, our fans of the show in the UK that have seen your thing, and they were freaking out. They'd never been exposed to it. It's 2007.
It's funny. Liquid, we found through our research and our traveling, talking to people, it was something that came out of the American rave scene. Now, depending where you went in the country, even Canada, Toronto, Montreal, much respect, my Canadian peeps, nothing but love.
Nothing but love, good stuff.
Every place had, you know, its own flavor.
But that came out of the East Coast.
Well, this is what we're leaning towards. We don't actually have to say, yeah, it started with this dude who started it. No, it was sort of an organic process that I think happen in multiple places, all on or about.
Agreed.
Yeah, like...
Because I was seeing your styles, like, in 92, and I'm sure it's, you know, it started a little early, even in 91, at some of the... As the Frankie Bones Party started to come, it's sort of...
And this is our dilemma. Like, the people who were in the scene that early, the scene was like, you know, it runs through people. If you don't know how to party in the scene right, it'll run through you.
Yeah.
It'll run through you, and, you know... You just end up leaving it, and it's something you don't go back. So there was never really a lot of knowledge kept. It was like, you know, like you were saying, very tribal. You handed it down to the people you chilled with.
Right.
And we found that the New York, Boston, Baltimore, D.C.
Rhode Island, too. Rhode Island had the best after parties.
you know, Route 95 connected all these cities together.
Yep.
You know, you were never more than 5 or 6 hours.
Yep, I got so sick of the New Jersey Turnpike.
Right,
I can't even tell, just like you.
Right, from point to point. So, because when in 90, I believe it was early 98, I took a trip out to Los Angeles with a really good friend of mine, the Navy. I went home to visit his family and ended up going to a party out there. And I started dancing, and the kids were looking at me like I was crazy. They're like, because they were all up on like glow sticks,
right?
And white gloves in black lights.
And that's beautiful too. You know, I mean, that's the one we were talking about. I love that. I just heard about the Melbourne Shuffle. I don't know if you've seen that. Have you seen that?
No. Yeah. I've seen it.
I think that's cool. Like,
that's something that they came out of. That's their kick step.
Right.
Their kick step. Like we had a little kick step. That was like what came out of their scene. That was their kick step, you know?
I love that aspect.
You know, and then traveling to Canada and Buffalo, the kids there, like, they use white gloves, too, in the black lights, but they used to, like, make shapes and tell stories with it.
Wow.
Like, they would make it through, like, a DJ table, and they pretend like they were spinning, then flow into, like, making something else. Like, they were all about making shapes. I went back to Cali in 2003 with my boy Jared, who was in LPC with me, and we met this group called the Transformers. T-R-A-N-C-E, Formers. There were like a dozen of them. We're like at this party. We talked through email and stuff and said we were coming out. So they came out to get down. Part of that video is on my YouTube. It's the one where I'm wearing the white gloves. I never wore white gloves.
I have to see that.
Right, and all these kids were wearing white gloves. And their whole flow came, instead of trying to actually make the flow with their hands and their body, was the speed and the trails in the black lights.
Right.
It worked. Just a different way of doing it. It was really, really fast. Where
I haven't seen
out
that.
Here, you know, it was more based on like, I'm trying to put it in the words. Like it was more based on flow. Like we didn't use black lights, we didn't use gloves, we didn't use lights of any really sort to create the trails.
Yeah, but you did introduce something I never seen anybody do.
Well, see, that is the first time I ever saw.
Let me say what that is, because that
light, you know, little mini flashlight thing. I saw some kid using them at a party, like glow sticks. I'm like, yo, dude, what are those? Like, you know, and he wouldn't show them to me. You know, he's like, well, you know, he wouldn't let me use them. I guess he was afraid somebody was going to jack them for him. Because, you know, partying in New York could be kind of rough.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
If you didn't know the right people.
That's true.
You know, and I'm looking at him, I'm like, do they turn on and off? He's like, yeah, they got a little switch, and a light went off of my head. I'm like, why? I didn't tell him this, but I'm like, why are you using those like glow sticks? Soon as I got home, got on the internet, found them back then when they first came out. I mean, they were expensive. They were like $15 to like $20. I think I paid $19 like each for them. Like, they just came out. So I got a pair and I started messing with them. So I'm like, okay, well, now I'm doing liquid. I would pop one out, throw it to my other hand and catch it, you know, and then do a wave, which is a funk style, which is another whole separate culture and everything, but wave through my body and it would be in my other hand.
Right. Let me just jump in on you for a second, because we didn't really explain what you're talking about to the people listening. You and I have talked about it, but there's a spot on, there's like a 35-second video that I keep telling you about at our MySpace/Imperial Quasar. If you go there, you watch Eric do this, there's about 35 seconds of him doing this thing, and he's doing a really nice move, and he's about 25 seconds in, he does this hand motion, and it looks like he's shooting a laser out of his hand. And he has, like, the discipline to just use it for, like, maybe 3/4 of a second. But it messes with your eye so bad. And that's just on a video. I can't even imagine what that's like if you're in the right frame of mind. That was so cool, the way you just used it for a brief second. It was like David Blaine stuff.
Like, I was talking before, that dude who's kneeling down in front of me is my boy Aaron. He's the first person I actually taught how to do liquid. Well, he had them, too. We used to use 4 different colors and stand in a party. We had routines where we used to throw them back and forth. He used to catch the color. We had a whole bunch of routines.
I would love to see that.
It's hard to explain to people how skilled you were with that thing. That VHS that had all that, when we were making our instructional video for Liquid Pop Collective, I gave it to our director, Ricardo Rivera, to see if he can find any usable footage off of it. And you got to understand, this kid has, what I mean, 100,000 VHS tapes. And mine wasn't marked. It just disappeared.
So it disappeared. Yeah,
like
that's too bad.
Indiana Jones, where at the end where they push the Ark of the Covenant into that warehouse, and like it disappears, that basically was what happened in that video. So I've kept bugging him and bugging him, but we never could find it, so it's sitting there somewhere.
Tell me about when you met the famous pop dancer, Wiggles. Like, tell me about your experience with Wiggles.
Like, when we first started putting Liquid out there, we got a lot of flack from the Funk Stylers. The Funk Stylers is the funk movement. It's a whole bunch of dances. It's separate from the hip-hop movement. Breakdancing came out of hip-hop. The funk movement had locking, which was created by Don Campbell, waving, King Tut style, where you see people, like, put their hands up and make angles and boxes and stuff, and waving, and popping, which is, now, see, this is a really, like, contested point. You know, there's popping and there's electric boogaloo. And depending how you put the popping together with certain body movements, now it's electric boogaloo. But there was just straight popping where you would hit your muscles to the beat, okay? You would tense your muscles to the beat. So we were getting a lot of flack saying that liquid was nothing but watered-down waving, which looks similar to the layman or somebody doesn't really know much about it. Like, they're sort of along the same principles. You're creating some sort of illusion of a flow going through your body. You'll see people, like, you know, they'll wave their one arm, it'll come in and go out the other side. Well, imagine that thing that's going through you. You take that out and put that in space, and then you play with it. You create that illusion in space by moving your hands, like, in a circle, and then you manipulate it and dance around it. That's
right.
Liquid.
And that is an effect. If you're watching it, it's really hard to, it looks like you're not really grounded to anything. And that's what's beautiful when it's done by someone who really knows what they're doing. It's like you're constantly in motion, like there is a wave going through you, but it's just like a wave on the ocean surfing. The energy goes through the water and the wave doesn't really move. It's just that the energy goes through the water. Okay, and the water's not really going anywhere. It's the energy going somewhere. And that's the way I feel when I watch you dance, is that there's an energy moving through you. And it reminds me a lot, you know, it just feels, you talk about this aspect of the flow. I mean, I imagine as long as you've been doing it and the dedication you've put into it, that you must get some sort of a spiritual rise when you're really in it.
This is the thing. Dance is different for everybody. I mean, dance is an individual art. Everybody's going to see it their own way. Like, everybody's going to see liquid their own way. No two people do liquid the exact same way. Even if you show somebody how to create the illusion, how their mind works and how they solve problems comes out in the liquid. Like any true liquid, it takes the shape of its container.
Right,
so right. When you give the dance to somebody, how they think is how their liquid's going to look. As long as you're correct with the foundation of how to create and maintain the illusion, the sky's the limit. Like me, like, dance is spiritual for me. Liquid is spiritual for me. Just, I mean, not even so much liquid, just dance. I don't go to church. I never really fell into that. But, you know, like, dancing for me is how I fulfill that need that I have.
Wonderful. Yep, I know what you mean.
You know, and it's, you know, like I said, it's an individual thing. It's an individual thing.
I love the way you put it. I mean, I love the way you put it. I love the way you put it. Because I'm a spiritual person. You know, I'm not going to go into what my religion is, and I don't go to church, but I do worship, and it's I love the way you put that, man.
So, I mean, and then, like, with the dance, you know, and all the styles, you know, it's like painting a picture. The more styles you know how to do, the more colors you have to paint your representation of whatever you think the music is. You become the visual representation of what you're hearing, basically. You interpret that through dance.
Yeah,
the more styles, you know, some people just like to paint in black. They just like to sketch with pencil. They don't use color. They're all about shadows and contrast and how they make light play. There's some people who get all the colors they can find and just throw them up on a canvas to music. You know, it's the exact same thing. The exact
Correct.
Same thing. It fulfills that, you know, innate need that we all have to express ourselves in whatever art or discipline you choose to do it.
You know, you're a poet when you talk about dancing. You're not just a great dancer. I'm so excited to have you on the show from talking to you. And that whole thing you just spit out was just amazing, dude. Bravo. Spectacle, right?
Well, see, and like, that was my whole deal, what kept me in it so long. It's the dance. Some people come in to be seen. Some people come in for the wrong reason. You know, like, I came in and I stayed. I came in for the music. I stayed for the dancing. And the dancing, like, every time I do Liquid, especially Liquid, it reveals something new to me, which I didn't see before. It's kept my interest. It's kept my, you know, it's kind of like this puzzle I can't figure out. That's why I'm a 31-year-old guy who still plays with his hands constantly. I can't figure it out. Like, it always reveals something. Just when I think I know it all, I see it shows me something like, no, you don't.
Right.
And I'm like, wow, I never looked in that direction.
How often are you, when you're out dancing, I mean, what do you get rocked by? Have you been rocked by other people lately? Or, I mean, how does that feel when you get rocked? When you know you're rocking people.
Okay, you got to understand, Liquid is its own subculture within dance culture right now. It's kind of accepted by the funk stylers and the poppers, depending who you talk to. It's at best tolerated. But you got to understand, Liquid has to be in its environment. It has to be at a party. It has to be at a club. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not trying to pigeonhole it or anything, but, like, each music has a dance to go with it. You know, the dance fits the music, not vice versa. That's why Liquid is big and it flows, because the music, like, if you listen to any 4-4 repeatedly, especially when you're at a party, you almost hear beats within beats. And Liquid became very flowy because, think about it, in funk music, there's the clap. It's like boom, boom, clack, boom, boom, clack. And people would pop on the clack, clack, clack. Every time there was a clack, you know, it's a very, like, move, stop, move, stop. Where Liquid is flowy because the music doesn't really stop. It kind of keeps going and going.
Even when it breaks, yeah.
Yeah, like even the breaks today.
Right.
The breaks are so close together that it almost becomes 4-4 because they're so fast. And I'm not talking like an actual like breaks, like the progressive breaks and stuff like that. Like, you know, there's not really so much a break in it anymore. As more of a pause.
Right.
It still kind of all bleeds together.
Right.
But like I said, like I came up listening to 4-4 beats, techno, house. You know, that's why my Liquid looks the way it does. I've had people who listen to nothing but drum and bass and jungle and stuff, and it looks like the music. Their flow is shorter, it's more concise to fit how the music is.
Okay.
You follow?
Yeah, totally.
So, depending on what you listen to, you can take the illusion and apply to the music that moves you, that moves your spirit, and you'll find yourself just naturally figuring out what's best for your music. Not saying you can't take it to other types of music, but usually what you enjoy listening to is what you go seek out in a party.
Right.
Like, in the beginning, I didn't get drum and bass. A, in the beginning, you know, it was always put in the worst possible part of the party. It was always put, like, in the closet or
like
in the
bastard cousin of rave.
You know, like
I love breakbeat. I always have. You know, we're playing a lot of breakbeat tonight, by the way.
Before it really got respect, then once you got respect, you started seeing the all drum and bass parties over here. You know, like, we were really slow to catch on to drum and bass, but there were always, like, those, like, elite kids who would always go and be like, yeah, we listen to drum and bass, man.
Right, whatever. And they're still out there. We're going to play some of them for you later.
You know, like, you know, it's all love, but, you know, like, my dance looks the way it does because of what I listen to.
Right, right. And you adapt it now, but that's what that's where it comes from. That's the genesis of it.
So if you take it out of that context and try and put it in the funk music, it doesn't really work right. And, like, a lot of the OG poppers, which we met, this is all leading back to Wiggles, just bear with me. Like, all the OG people, that we went for guidance because we're like, well, you guys have been around 10 years before we started dancing. And they kept being like, oh, that's just waving. Oh, that's just waving. Oh, you're not waving right. We're like, no, it's not. So we kept arguing and pushing. This is all through the internet now.
Uh-huh.
You know, people, we're putting videos out. We're getting emails. We're asking questions. And we wrote Wiggles like, what do you think?
Yeah, you're a researcher of this stuff. I love that. I love that, like, you dug into it.
You know, we sent him videos like,
and that there was something to dig into.
Right. What do you think? He's like, well, it looks like waving, but I don't know enough about it. Well, he ended up coming to Philly.
Now, let me remind him, this is Wiggles. Like, this is a famous pop dancer.
No. Rocksteady Crew, Universal's
right.
Crew, Electric Boogaloo's, like, the right. Mr. Wiggles.
Right.
We were asking him for guidance, you know.
That's beautiful.
And, like, he came out to Philly, and we were like, yo, you want to get down with us? And this is when, well, it was Motion by then, but Space Nightclub in Philly, which became Motion. Like, we practically, like, ran the joint. We knew everybody working there. We used to all the DJs, so we just used to come and go. Well, we have video of that, too, that's out on the internet, where we're like, yo, why don't you come chill with us, and we'll go to the club.
Nice.
So before we went into the club, we were showing him, and he's like, wow. He's like, wow, I got to give you all your ghetto pass on that. He's like, I can't make a judgment. He's like, I can't make a judgment on that. I got to give you all your ghetto pass. I'm not saying what it is, but that's your, you know, that's your stuff.
That's awesome. That is so awesome.
No, dude, and this is what I give him so much respect for. He's like, do your stuff to your music and don't let anybody tell you nothing. He's like, do your stuff. He's like, you know, and from then on, it was like, wow, that's, you know, that's cool. And that gave us a lot of, like,
oh,
you know,
of course.
Yeah, you know, that gives us a big boost. Like, wow, okay.
No, I just love it that you had, you know, you were such a seeker. And this is why I see when you said.
See, at this point, it wasn't just me. It was the whole crew in general.
Right.
To find the identity of what we were doing and cared so much about.
Well, we're going to turn, I want to stop it there because I don't think it could get any better. It just got, dude. This is like the greatest interview. And I want you to tell the people what's your YouTube where they can go see a lot of your videos?
Okay. My YouTube is www.youtube.com/LP Eric, Liquid Pop Eric, LP Eric. I got a couple videos up there. I actually just put two new videos up there just for this interview.
Awesome.
One of me doing hand flow, then the other one demonstrating a technique called a contour. It was stuff that was supposed to be in our instructional video, but didn't make it. It ended up on the cutting room floor.
So it's YouTube.com/LP Eric.
Yep.
Okay, and tell them, and your MySpace again is MySpace.com/CaptainOldSchool, and just tell them some of the stuff that's at over there far as the history of rave.
Like, my whole thing, I got such a response from these videos that I put out, like, oh, geez, what was it, 7 years ago?
And we will get people, we will point people to your other dance friends. We will put links up to them as well. Go ahead.
But, you know, I got such a response, and I still get a response to this day that, like, I felt responsible to make my MySpace into where people can get accurate information on what rave culture was.
Here. Where we were.
Here in the States, even back where it came from, you know, in
right.
the motherland.
Right, it goes back, you know, further, right.
Right, I have videos. I have this awesome video that was actually aired on the BBC. It was never aired here. It's called Pump Up the Volume, Parts 1, 2, and 3. It's a history of house music and the rave scene.
Great.
You can download it off of my MySpace, free of charge.
Okay, yes. Great. That's MySpace.com/CaptainOldSchool, right?
Cool. Right, Captain
okay.
Old School, you know, no funky letters, no funky spelling.
Right,
you know,
I explained that to them,
down.
Yeah. All one word, Captain Old School.
Captain Old School. I got some more videos up there. I got a couple raver games, some cliche raver games. I got what else I got up there? An interactive rave timeline where you can click and it's all flash.
Right. That's amazing. And I saw some of that. I told the people about it. Where are you going to be dancing next, Eric?
Where am I going to dance? My life right now is really hectic. The next place I might be is Brooklyn, probably in 2 weeks. I'm going to be there. A friend of mine is playing at a party out there. So me and my boy Jared actually was in LPC with me. We're going to try and make a drive up there. It's going to be kind of crazy because it is such a short weekend.
What date is that?
I believe it is a Friday. Friday the 9th?
Coming up? Okay, cool.
I believe that's what it is.
Well, we'll get that information out if you're definitely going to be up there. If people in this area want to go meet you and watch this thing.
There is a lot of great stuff on my MySpace page. I tried to keep it more towards culture-oriented instead of focusing on myself. You know, so people could come. Yeah, they could see a couple videos.
No, it's like an encyclopedia. It's wonderful. Eric, good night, man. Thank you so much. Lots of love to you, man. Thank you for bringing it tonight. This has been an awesome interview, man. You nailed it. You did a. It was just great. I was just so excited to go home and listen to this later, man. Lots of love to you, Eric. And
hey, I got to give one shout-out.
Go ahead. Shout-out to whoever you like, bro.
Real quick. I got to give a shout-out to Hypno, Tiny Love, Jared, a.k.a. Code Red, Dementia, Buddha Stretch, Shallow, 3D, Fidays. Like, these are the people that inspire me to dance, you know, to this day.
That's
Brian Green. If I forgot it,
we have a video of Dementia at our space, by the way.
Know, I'm put on the spot here. If I forgot anybody, Mr. Wiggles, you know, like, just the people that continue to inspire me to dance. And I want to thank everybody for all the love I've been getting for this video for the last, you know. You guys are great.
Well, thanks for putting it out, man. Well, thanks for being a dedicated warrior, man, and a rave nomad.
I'm just doing what I love.
I know, Eric, and it shows, man. It shows. Okay, man. Good night, Eric. We'll talk to you again soon, and we'll be seeing you dance very soon. Lots of love.
New rave emissaries. Don't sleep. Don't sleep.
All right, brother. All right, bye. Legendary producer. That was actually chosen by to follow Eric's interview. But Eric is back on the phone because he forgot to shout somebody very important. So he's going to do it now. Go ahead, Eric.
Yo, baby, I'm so sorry. I want to definitely give a shout out to my wife. Don't kill me when I get home. I love you, baby. She's definitely been my rock that I lean on.
Very cool, man.
I love you, baby.
I love that you know that he'd call back, bro. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, man. No,
that
I
rocks.
I was just sitting here. I was like, oh, I'm dead. So dead.
All right, bro. Take it easy.
All right.
We're gonna mix in a song that was suggested to me by DJ DB. This is Breakbeat Symphony. Okay, by Psycho Candy, and then we're going to follow this by the Riff Raff Crew, and then we're going to tell you something about the Riff Raff Crew afterwards. Right on.
Prince Talkologist. It's that track, Psycho Candy with Breakbeat Symphony. It's a funky spelling on that one.
S-I-N-F-O-N-Y.
Yeah, and A Guy Called Gerald before that with Voodoo Ray.
Ooh, yeah, the Psycho Candy track was a suggestion by DJ DB, who's a legend of the old rave scene in New York City, all over the East Coast. But DB's actually from the UK. He started NASA up in New York City, and he's kept going strong. Probably the first new rave DJ that I can think of. This guy used to drop the Stone Roses and the Charlatans right smack in the middle of a rave. I mean, that was adventurous back then, considering what was going on around him. And DB's going to be a guest on the show next week.
Yeah.
He's also just had a baby, so congratulations to DB. And let me see. After that, we had an interesting crew came to my attention this week. Riff Raff Crew. MySpace/Riff Raff Crew. These guys are from New York City. They got the real old school UK hardcore break beats. Also, but coming out of New York City now. So I love that. They throw a party going on 2 years now. It's called Old School Reload. It's the only, as far as I know, it's the only old school breakbeat party in the USA right now, like regular one. I'm not sure about that. I'm sure I'll be corrected if I'm wrong.
We'll get 100 emails.
The next one's in March, and they just had one three down January 20th, and I heard the music was completely off the hook. And these guys are down with the whole new rave vibe and mixing it up. And they got a CD available of their mix from the last party. And it's free for postage. If you go to their MySpace, it's MySpace/Riff Raff Crew. That's RiffRaff Crew, Riff Raff Crew. Let me see. Next, we're going to move it over to a little guitar music in our experience. We got something that's a pick of DJ Fearless, who turned us on to Metronomy. This is Late of the Pier. It's called Random Furl. This is MySpace/Late of the Pier. These guys are from Nottingham. They're playing... I really love this track, by the way. It's very interesting groove on this. I can't really explain it. So it's just different. It's like a... I don't know. There's a little electro feel to it, but it's its own thing. You'll see what I'm talking about in a minute. Their MySpace is MySpace/Late of the Pier. And they're playing February 3rd at Chalk at Scala, King's Cross, London. Okay, and we really got to rush to get stuff in, so yes, I want to talk. We're going to play that, and then we're going to follow that with the KBC. This is another Chicks Dig Jerks pick. The KBC are from Preston. I know there's a buzz on these guys. I'm starting to hear about these guys a lot. They're playing the Soundhouse in Bolton February 2nd. I think that's the first date of a tour. It's MySpace/ShoutKBC. The song called Pride Before the Fall. And we're going to play those two in a row, come back, tell you about something else. So this is Late of the Pier, Random Furl, the KBC, Pride Before the Fall. Right.
Cool. On WRSU-FM in New Brunswick.
Some of the music heard on WRSU-FM New Brunswick is brought to you by a program grant from the Princeton Record Exchange. Princeton Record Exchange, with over 160,000 titles in stock, buys and sells CDs, LPs, and DVDs. They are located at 20 South Tulane Street in downtown Princeton and can be reached at 609-921-0881 or online at www.prex.com.
in a pub and we'll meet our friends. We'll tell them what to do.
Bike, I-M-Y-B-I-K-E. These guys from Lincoln, Newark. I really fell in love with that track that week. This just got the weirdest vibe. I love it. You can see those guys at the Bivouac with Def Havana. That's their next gig. We got to move on. Last thing, I just want to say a couple of things. We didn't get to Clear Up tonight. We played Clear Up before. He did the station ID. We'll play him next week. Dimension of Sound, February 17th, Long Island. Frankie Bowen spinning. Check out myspace.com/dimensionofsound. Style Slut, February 10th. Silver Link is spinning 93 feet east. This is 150 Brick Lane, London, E1, myspace/clubstyleslut. The last thing we're going to leave you with is The Boy from Space. This is a song called Wouldn't You Rather Be a Winner on Bracken Records. This record comes
out
Monday.
Awesome, awesome label.
It's a 7-inch vinyl, and you can check them out, myspace/The Boy from Space. We got to run. If we missed anything, we'll get to it next week. Love to everybody. Thanks to our guests. It was amazing.
Yes, thank you.
Much love to everybody.
All right. Catch you next week.
How good is your product knowledge? Always think, what have I tempted the customers with today? There's been a revolution in customer service. Why? Well, where would we be without our customers? We'd be out of a job. Commitment, you might think, is a bit of a loose concept, not something you can quantify, but you'd be wrong. Commitment comes from within us in a number of ways. First, it comes from motivation to do something, to say to yourself, I will do that. Second, commitment is confidence that the task can be done, to say, I can do that. Thirdly, commitment is enthusiasm in doing something. Say to yourself, I will do that, I can do it, let's do it now. And last, commitment is the desire to succeed, to say, I really want to do that, I want to show everyone. So, commitment is motivation, confidence, enthusiasm, and desire. Commitment means being prepared to do extra things, going the extra mile. Giving the customers what they need and more. Wanting to delight the customer. Wanting to delight the customer. Wanting to delight the customer. I will do that. I can do that. Let's do it now. The product is what the customer wants. Our product is what the customer is buying. It is our business to sell our product. I can do that. Let's do it now. We need to delight the customer, not just serve them. We need to delight the customer, not just serve them. We need to delight the customer, not just serve them. So what makes a good salesperson? Someone who is friendly and helpful, confident and motivated, who has a positive attitude and is committed. Someone who has great product knowledge and great appearance. We need to delight the customer, not just serve them. Great product knowledge, great appearance and personal hygiene, great product knowledge, great appearance and personal hygiene, great product knowledge, great appearance and personal hygiene. I can do that. Let's do it now. Our product is what the customer wants. Our product is what the customer is buying. It is our business to sell our product. I can do that. Let's do it now. Why have an attitude of a loser? Wouldn't you rather be a winner? I can do that. Great product knowledge. Great appearance and personal hygiene. I will do that. Let's do it now. At the end of a meal, you suggest a dessert to the customer. The customer is not sure, but says, okay, why not? The customer really enjoys the dessert and will probably have it again, without being prompted. Is that good service? Why have an attitude of a loser? Wouldn't you rather be a winner? Why have an attitude of a loser? Wouldn't you rather be a winner? Great product knowledge. Great appearance and personal hygiene. Great product knowledge. Great appearance and personal hygiene. Why have an attitude of a loser? Wouldn't you rather be a winner? The product is what the customer wants. Our product is what the customer is buying. It is our business to sell our product. I can do that. Let's do it now. Why have an attitude of a loser? Appearance and personal hygiene. I will do that. Let's do it now. Great product knowledge. Great appearance and personal hygiene. 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 How good is your product knowledge? Always think, what have I tempted the customers with today?